Plundering of archaeological sites in Nigeria, implications and remedies. The plundering of archaeological sites has been a source of concern to archaeologists and heritage practitioners ever since the profession evolved into a distinct practice different from antiquarianism. The scale, hundreds of sites and thousands of objects, and dimension, partial or complete destruction of the problem has varied from region to region, but with the same consequence of virtually irretrievable loss of information and data associated with objects, as they are mindlessly exhumed without consideration for the archaeological context. The plundering of archaeological sites in Nigeria is generally believed to have first shown its ugly head with the activities of Leo Frobenius at Iliefe in 1910. Thereafter, as a result of the intervention of the colonial administrators, the problem decreased substantially until it began to rear its head again in the 90s. The principal regions where plundering took place in the 90s are Nok and Katsina Sokoto terracotta sculpture sites. There were lootings at the Ile-Efe and Ikom monolith sites, but these were not on the scale of what happened in northern part of Nigeria. And here is the map showing where the plundering has been taking place. It has to be stated also that large-scale looting of archaeological sites in the north occurred about the time when looting was occurring in neighboring countries like Niger and Mali. It goes without saying that understanding the phenomenon and proffering solutions has to be done in a sub-regional perspective. Nok, the birthplace of sub-Saharan terracotta sculptural tradition, suffered massive looting of its sites in the 90s, and indeed the problem persists today, though at an attenuated level. Investigations carried out by Nigeria's National Commission for Museums and Monuments, archaeologists in the 90s and the first half of the 2000s, showed the enormity and widespread nature of the problem. The research of Bronig and Rupp since 2005 has shown that more than 90% of the known Nok sites have been ravaged, 90%. The case of Nok is indeed ironic in the sense that it was finds from this region as a result of tin mining operations that stimulated the setting up of Nigeria's first major national museum at Jos. Exciting as Nok culture is, as the earliest terracotta sculpture tradition in sub-Saharan Africa, substantial gaps exist in our knowledge which can only be resolved by comprehensive archaeological investigations. It is obvious that much has been lost, and we can only hope that the work of Bronig and Rupp, in collaboration with National Commission for Monuments and Museums and Monuments, the total picture might still be obtained. The gaps in our knowledge include, among others, precision of the chronological sequence, spatial relationship, purposes for which the objects were sculptured, sourcing of raw materials, diet, associated materials, and context of association between materials, that is, the relationship between the terracotta sculptures and metals, relationship between terracotta sculptures and human remains, and the relationship between terracotta sculptures and human settlements, intercommunal networks and relationships. The consequences of the plundering of archaeological sites can further be illustrated with the heroic art historical work carried out by Boulier and others in France on more than 1,000 Nok terracotta sculptures, illegally excavated and smuggled out to Europe and beyond. In spite of the thoroughness of their analysis, it's quite clear that their attempt to decipher stylistic evolution, temporal and spatial variation suffers great setbacks for several reasons, not the least due to complications brought about by the expert manufacture of fakes, but impregnated by authentic Nok material to deceive even laboratory equipment. Adding the fact that dealers do not necessarily accompany their deliveries with exact provenances, we can understand that reconstructions based on these without paper, Nok pieces can only be tentative. the Katsina and Sokoto, another region. The looting of Katsina-Sokoto sites went hand in hand with that of Nok. However, the difference is that very little of the terracotta sculpture tradition of this region was known before the looters went in. The looting centered on the southern part of Katsina and Zamfara states, spilling over to southwestern Kano. The biggest haul came from around Quatakwarshi in Zamfara state, in a region that was one of the last refugia of traditional religion in northern Nigeria. According to Darling, a researcher, expatriates from Lagos, Jos, Gusau, and Zurich came there to buy and export illegally. What we are missing in the case of the Northwest Terracotta Sculpture region, as I prefer to designate the region, is also enormous. As revealed by the archaeological investigations conducted by archaeologists from the National Commission in the year 2000. The distribution of sites is very wide and variations in context of sites quite complex. However, this deduction was based on fragments abandoned at various sites which were considered unsuitable for sale. We examined hundreds of fragments of terracotta pieces, thousands of potsherds, and hundreds of bangles. However, only one of the several sites excavated, Chunkwi, produced a terracotta piece. An associated charcoal returned a date of 3,337 BP, and this led to my deduction we might be dealing with the antecedents of Nok. However, the excavation carried out in 2006 in collaboration with Bronig and Sinao Lamba returned a date of 1,555 BP, which coincides with the last period of Nok culture. Thus, this leaves a research issue open: chronological relationships between Nok and Katsina terracotta sculptural traditions, which would be hampered by whole-scale plundering of sites. In 2004, Darling raised a very daring proposition based on the presentation of pictures of terracotta sculptures that were already illegally in Europe. Based on his findings, he concluded that Nok terracotta sculptures were also recovered from this northwestern terracotta sites, further inferring that because the area was the headquarters of widespread Majiro ancestor cult, adherents brought terracotta pieces from far and wide. If this were so, it would indeed be very exciting. Darling also posited that terracotta sculptures were not associated with burials. But how can we base such far-reaching conclusions on post hoc investigations? This further illustrates what we are losing to plunderers. Planned archaeological research in collaboration with Breunig from Frankfurt, in context with a joint research project at the Goethe University and Nigeria's National Commission, is hoped it be able to add considerable data to my construed relationship between Nok and northwest Nigeria terracotta producing areas. This is a picture of the author inspecting an arrangement of terracotta sculptures scientifically excavated in Janjala site by Breunig's team. At Ile Efe, the plundering of Ile Efe archaeological sites in southwest Nigeria by Frobenius in 1910 is well known to archaeologists. The extent of his damage to Ife sites have been well documented by Willett, who worked extensively at Ile Efe from the 1950s to the 1970s. It must, however, be said that though Frobenius did not conform to the standards archaeology would consider appropriate today, he cannot strictly be compared with latter-day outright destroyers of sites who wanted only the objects. Frobenius, who was in search of a lost civilization, documented his activities even though he carted away tons of artifacts illegally. In recent times, Agidi has been the site of illegal ripping away of archaeological materials. As the petroglyphs were on the surface, the loss is not in the context of finds, but in the objects themselves. Indeed, it is Ile Efe which has been studied well archaeologically. However, there persists some unresolved issues. This is a stolen head from Igidi at Ile Efe. Now, these issues still require further archaeological inquiries. For instance, there is the question of primary context of Ife objects. So far is only Eyo that stakes out a claim to incontrovertible evidence of primary context for the lower levels of his La Foglido excavation. We therefore appreciate the need for more excavations to be able to answer the larger question as to whether the present Ife is indeed the original one. Ecom. The spectacular stone monoliths of southeastern Nigeria also suffered from looters of archaeological sites. The period of looting has not been well established, but according to Dr. Edet, the problem started mainly in the 1970s with the advent of the oil boom. As recorded by Allison in 1968, some of the stone monoliths had suffered desecration and removal as a result of intercommunal conflicts in pre-colonial times. The looting for economic reasons came about only in the 70s and the 80s. These monoliths are of great significance to present-day occupants of the area. Indeed, quoting from Allison in 1968, ownership of the stones is understandably regarded as evidence of ownership of the land on which they stand. And no one would ever admit the possibility of any Akwanshi having been carved by anyone other than the ancestors of the present occupiers. Though there are variations in the accounts of how the monoliths came to be, there is, however, a general consensus as to their being their ancestors. Some of those interviewed claimed that each face in the stone represented one of their former chiefs whose names they can no longer remember. Does one need to underline further the importance of these monoliths to the owners beyond what they have affirmed themselves? However, for archaeologists, much need be done as we're still dealing with uncertain chronology. Much work has been done in the iconography of these stones, but the significance of such suffers from the absence of chronology. Why are archaeological sites in Nigeria plundered? The straightforward answer would be they are plundered to supply the insatiable antiquity markets in Europe and America. A corollary question would be, why did Europe and America develop such an appetite for Nigerian antiquities? This is quite a difficult one to answer, but we can only sketch some probable reasons. It has been argued that the looting of Benin bronzes by the conquering British troops in 1879 and Frobenius, cutting away thousands in 1912, laid the foundation for the appreciation of Nigeria's antiquities in the West. It has also been argued that the huge successes of exhibitions of Nigeria's antiquities worldwide in the 80s and the famous Valleys of the Niger in the 90s, which Nigerian objects featured prominently, opened the eyes of private collectors to the gold mine of Nigeria's antiquities. It has further been argued that the opening of the Musée du Quai Branly also contributed to further looting of archaeological sites. These claims need to be evaluated and taken into consideration in arriving at workable solutions. Should we stop mounting exhibitions in Europe and America? Should museums openings in Europe continue to source materials from the open antiquities market? We will return to these questions later. Responses to this problem. Toward the end of the 90s, the federal government of Nigeria, through the National Commission for Museums and Monuments, initiated a series of actions aimed at combating the menace. Inter-ministerial bodies were set up to work out strategies for combating the problem. They submitted an action plan to deal with the problem, and the international bodies, especially ICOM, rose to the occasion by publishing a red list of antiquities in danger, by hosting workshops, conferences, by challenging unethical practices of museums in Europe and America. Individual professionals rose up to the occasion through conferences, meetings, and publications, replete with recommendations. Now, one particular individual, Nakade, lists some measures which he think might be important. I won't go into the detail, but you'll probably read them later. But his recommendations were quite reasonable. However, we need to ask or review the effectiveness of these measures, some of which were put in place. The interministerial body actions and outcries to a large extent stemmed the looting of museums, but it didn't have much impact on the situation at archaeological sites. For indeed, the measures put in place were rather feeble in the face of the enormity of the challenge. The effort of the international bodies recorded success in the sense that major museums became more cautious in their acquisition of policies, except in some peculiar cases, such as the Musée du Quai Branly the nut pieces that were obviously involved. The problem with private collectors, in spite of all efforts to stop the looting of archaeological sites, the private antiquity collectors and private museums continue to be a problem. They indeed act with impunity and delude themselves into believing they act within the bounds of the laws of Nigeria. This they do by parading fake documents from fake officials purporting to be the Director General of the National Commission, or claiming to have an authorization from local chiefs who do not have legal rights to authorize export of antiquities. There's no gainsaying that the problem would largely be over if the activities of private galleries in Europe and America could be curtailed. Internet auction of Nigeria's antiquities further illustrates the impunity with which these people act. Just search for knock on the internet, instead of a harvest of scholarly papers, is that as a list of galleries selling illegally acquired knock terra sculptures. And this is an example of a knock head from the Katsina area, in which was on auction, and it's in 2005, and it's got a date between 1500 and 2100 years ago. How are we doing? 5 minutes, good. I think we should go finish. Right. Sensitization programs. As part of the efforts to tackle the problem of looting, the National Commission launched a series of sensitization programs across the nation. The programs have run for about 10 years, although intermittently. We're now in a position to assess the impact of these sensitization programs. We have seen some recorded success in terms of increased awareness by the enforcement agencies, as attested by a number of referrals to the Commission of Objects Intercepted. We must, however, remain concerned about the level of acceptance of our campaign at the rural level. It's like a case of trying to wake up someone who is pretending to be sleeping. It is not as if the local agents of the international network of dealers are not aware of the wrong they're doing, legally and morally, but they are not willing to give up a lucrative, illegal business. The law reported has more to do with decline in demand. My discussions with several people involved at different levels of the operation are quite revealing. While the foot soldiers are more or less always eager or ready to be engaged, the middlemen, that is the commanders of the looters, are becoming weary. As succinctly put by one of them, the business is akin to gambling, and in quite many of their outings, they did lose a lot of money as they could not obtain adequate returns on their investments. As argued by Breunig, the foot soldiers see their participation as questions of survival of which they are paid mere laborers' wages. Thus should not be blamed. My deduction from my interaction with them is they are not innocent participants. They indeed look forward to hitting fortunes, as they expected huge rewards as bonuses, which rarely came. Thus we should retool our sensitization programs and realize there are no quick wins in this battle. The implications of plundering. The implications of the plundering of archaeological sites are well known to archaeologists. We can, however, not reiterate it too much longer as the problem does persist. Thus, I choose to quote the words of Lord Renfrew to the British Parliament in 1999. The most serious threat to the world's historic heritage today, probably exceeding damage inevitably resulting from intensified farming practices and advancing urban development, is the deliberate looting of archaeological sites for commercial gain. By looting is meant the clandestine excavation of archaeological sites without adequate record or publication in order to provide antiquities for sale. It should be clearly understood that the loss to the heritage is primarily one of information. When artifacts are found in an archaeological excavation in a well-stratified context, they, at associated finds, can add greatly to our knowledge of the human past. That is essentially what archaeology is about, the production of such knowledge and its publication, and removed from their context, they are no more than interesting objects which lack the power to tell us more about the past. Specific challenges posed to Nigeria's heritage. The problem posed to our understanding of the cultural past varied according to specific regions. As we discussed before, a full understanding of knock enigma, the relationship between knock and other terracotta producing sites like Katsina and Sokoto and the Iliefe would require several years of archaeological research at undisturbed sites. For areas and nations where written records do not date beyond several centuries, archaeological resources remain one of the most authentic data for study of their past. Objects derived from scientific excavations remain their iconic reference. In conclusion, the plundering of archaeological sites will continue as long as there's a market for looted objects. You must therefore continue to appeal to art dealers and private museums in Europe and America to exercise due diligence in their dealings. As we pursue this line of action, archaeologists working in West Africa must reinforce existing network of collaboration for carrying out archaeological expeditions. Finally, in appreciation, I wish to express my sincere gratitude to the organizers of the forum. I also wish to express on behalf of the Nigerian archaeologists, our gratitude to colleagues from Europe who have kept the faith with us. Thank you. We can try. I'm sure most of the people know what had been said.
Merci bien d'avoir transmis cette communication de Moussa. Précise qu'il n'est pas spécialiste du Nigeria. On va tenter quand même. Si.
We can open a discussion, perhaps, if those of you have got something to offer. Anyone know the region of the NOC LEFA area and have something to say about this? Is there anyone who would like to comment?
Tu peux, toi.
Yes, Pierre Desmarais.